Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thank you for coming by. Have a seat, sit on the sofa. It's a really quiet day today here. The boyfriend's off at work. I'm on my last day of my Golden Week holidays. Now, for those of you who are not in Japan, you may not know what Golden Week is. It is a cluster of holidays that comes at the end of April and beginning of May, and they figured rather than have people take a day off, work a day, take a day off, work a day, they just put them all together, and it is a series of days called Golden Week. So for me, it's my 1 week holiday. I've never had this before. I used to work at a conversation school, and right around this time, I would say to my students, hey, how are you? And they'd say, I'm on Golden Week. And of course, I would be working, so I would have to hate them. But now I'm on Golden Week, and everybody else is hating me for having a week of holidays. Oh, it's great. Anyway, I've completely squandered it. It's been wonderful. Watching old reruns, well, not reruns, but watching old episodes of Night Court. You may remember that. And new episodes of Breaking Bad, which my father sent me the DVDs to that. My father, my sister, everybody loves it. And I'm 3 episodes in. It's really quite good. I'm enjoying it very much. So I go back to work tomorrow. Oh, more's the pity. But this gives me plenty of time to put together a nice podcast for you. Something that you can enjoy, because I know the last couple of offerings haven't been great. And I apologize for that. It is my ill health or my busyness or something else that kept me from giving you the quality that you deserve. Well, I'm going to make up for that with this week's review. And I told you last week that the author of this book is a internationally known sex and romance advice columnist. He does a podcast, which I highly recommend you listen to. It's the Savage Love Podcast. And he also does a blog on thestranger.com. He is, of course, Dan Savage. And here for review number 69 is Skipping Towards Gomorrah, America. Here and now, in the first decade of the 21st century, there are those who say that America is on the decline. It is a nation awash in sin and degradation, vice and immorality. Pot smokers, gamblers, homosexuals, feminists, liberals. Ooh, those damn liberals. They're all conspiring to destroy everything that is good and moral about the United States of America. And you, yes, you are letting them do it. I don't care if you don't live in America, you're still letting them do it. Soon this nation that we all love and cherish will be nothing but an opium orgy den for a bunch of homosexual, atheist, abortion doctors. All right, well, that's what they believe, right? Those whom Dan Savage refers to as the scolds or the virtucrats and the naysayers. We know who they are, usually Republican conservatives, often of the evangelical Christian variety. They are men and occasionally women, such as Robert Bork, Bill O'Reilly, Ann Coulter, Pat Buchanan, and all of the things they have in common. The most glaring thing is that they believe the United States is in a state of utter moral decay. Americans who choose sex for any function other than making babies, who choose to put drugs into their bodies, who allow themselves to be fat and indolent, shame on you! It is your sinning that is destroying America. Jerry Falwell himself said as much after the attacks on 9/11. He said, quote,
I really believe...
Is this really his voice? Really? All right, they're telling me this is his real voice. And it gets altered for TV, but this is really what Jerry Falwell sounds like. Swear to God, my research department has gotten this for me. All right.
I really believe that the pagans, the abortionists, and the feminists, and the gays, and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all them who tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen.
Seriously, he sounds like a Jewish Southern Emo Phillips. I don't know how these things happen. The facts are all right there. You can check it out yourself. Anyway, it would seem, given the naysayers' ubiquity and their volume, that they are right. Or, of course, maybe not. Dan Savage is an acclaimed advice columnist, specializing in relationship and sex advice. He started with a newspaper column nearly 20 years ago, and he's gained international attention, mainly by being very good at his job. he doesn't sugarcoat his advice, often telling people instead to, you know, who are having trouble with a guy or a woman that they don't know if they should stay with or blah, blah, blah. He says DTMFA, which is short for dump the mother fetcher already. This is a family podcast, people. I got to keep the language clean. So, yeah, if it's clear they're in a bad relationship, that's what he tells them. He helped coin a new meaning for the word Santorum, as well as the word pegging. Now, Google them on your own, in your own time. He is abrasive, he's contrarian, he's direct, and an outspoken advocate of the pursuit of happiness. Most of his advice can be boiled down to the simple question, are you happy? What Savage is exploring in this book is all the ways people try to make themselves happy, and why those are all the things the virtucrats believe are sinful, immoral, and conducive to America's decline in the world. So in order to understand the sins, he has to meet the sinners, and as much as possible, indulge. The book is set up against the classic seven deadly sins: greed, lust, sloth, gluttony, envy, pride, and anger. In each chapter, Savage tries to understand what it is about these sins that make them so irresistible, and if they're actually deadly at all. For greed, he indulges in gambling, learning how to play blackjack and win, except when he loses. For gluttony, he visits a convention for the NAAFA, the National Association for the Advancement of Fat Acceptance, to find out about how fat people feel about being fat. He learns to channel his anger at a shooting range in Texas, studies lust and swingers clubs in Las Vegas, and realizes that maybe we all need a little more sloth in our lives. He takes great pains to envy the rich, and so determine whether gays really need to bother with pride anymore. Then he tops it all off with a great attempt to commit all seven deadly sins within a 48-hour period in, of course, New York City. As provocative as it all sounds, the book isn't really about sinning, right? It's about human nature and freedom, and how those two things clash and merge. It is about how some humans want to enjoy themselves, while other humans would rather those first humans didn't. They tell us about the horrors of drugs, right? The terrors of infidelity, and the inherent corrosive nature of the very existence of gay people, much less married ones. They tell us that by pursuing our happiness, we are destroying the country. Dan Savage says otherwise, mainly by pointing out what the conservative naysayers don't want to hear, which is that human beings are complex, irreducible characters who are not very good at not doing what they're not supposed to do. We all want to enjoy ourselves, we all want to feel pleasure one way or another, and we will do everything in our power to make that happen, whether it's sex or reading, drugs or travel, food or art, going to the gym or gambling. We want to feel good. And for some reason, there are people who have a problem with this. Savage believes that the first principle we should follow is that of freedom. If one isn't harming others, then one should be free to do whatever one wants. In this book, he makes an excellent case for the legalization of marijuana, talks to productive, religious, moral swingers, and meets with sex workers in New York City. He examines the hypocrisy of the moralist movement and the general weakness of their arguments. I mean, for example, with gambling long having been one of the most deadly sins of the Christian catalog, why don't modern conservatives rail against it? Is it because it's an economic boon to so many places? Is it because it makes more money for the country? On gambling, the conservatives are quiet, although surely cards and dice have broken up far more families than gays and lesbians. And if the concept of personal responsibility is so sacred that any mention of gun control is considered an immediate attack on our freedoms, why can't that same love of responsibility extend to marijuana use, an activity far, far less deadly than gunplay? Savage's understanding of human nature tells him that while we all want happiness, the happiness of one person is the immorality of another. In America, however, there is room to disagree. There is room to argue and to grow. American culture evolves and changes whether you like it or not, and it is better to learn to live in that culture than to try to bend it to your will. Now, while you may disagree with how your fellow American leads his or her life, it's not your job to try and change that, just as they have no business trying to change yours. So take heart, sinners. Dan Savage is on your side. So let me give you a quote. He says, I like this one, "Take me to the driest county in the most conservative state, and in 2 hours, This determined hedonist will find you all the drugs, whores, and booze you will need to pass an eventful weekend. So that is Dan Savage skipping towards Gomorrah. It is really a good book. It's a lot of fun, and I do recommend listening to his podcast. I'll put a link up on the blog. It's very good. It's entertaining. Sometimes it's touching. Sometimes it's frustrating. And you may hear some advice that you need to hear. It's quite good. Dan is a cool guy. He's good to have in our corner. And something else that reminded me today, it was actually fortuitous news. I saw a news thing today about this guy, George Rakers, or Rakers. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He is an anti-gay advocate. He is a Baptist minister. He's, of course, been one of those guys who screams against gays getting married and gays adopting children and gays just, you know, being. And turns out that he has hired a hooker. Not just any hooker. Oh, no. No, no, no. This paragon of morality, this soldier of Christian correct living, hired a guy from rentboy.com to accompany him. Now. We don't know what they've been doing. He claims that he needs somebody to help carry his stuff because he's had an operation and he can't carry heavy things. And that's fair. That's fair. I understand that. But if you have this medical problem, why would you go to rentboy.com? I find that rather odd. In the interests of pure research, I visited rentboy.com, so you do not have to, and they don't advertise their moving or heavy lifting services. So, this is something that Savage touched upon in the book, didn't make it a cornerstone of his argument, but that is the conservative hypocrisy, that people who are the loudest in screaming against the immorality of the rest of the country, not all the time, but occasionally show themselves to be massive, massive hypocrites. And when I see that, you know what I do? I laugh, I laugh, I laugh. And then I laugh some more. So check out the book. It's very, very good. Check out the podcast. Follow Dan Savage. He speaks well. He's a cool guy. So there we go. Maybe Dan Savage will want to talk to me. I have nothing to talk to Dan Savage about. Let me then, since I've gone on, and this is great, I'm having fun doing a podcast where I don't have to stop every 5 minutes to sneeze or cough or blow my nose. This is so much fun. Let me give you a clue as to next week's book. We're going to continue into nonfiction, but we're not going to keep going with the whole lust and sex and stuff. I'm sorry if that's what you were looking forward to. But the writer of next week's book, we've done one of his books before. You've seen it some time ago. He is the former president of the James Randi Educational Foundation. He worked on the Hubble Telescope, and he keeps a very good astronomy, mostly related blog. So I recommend find out who he is, and you'll probably find out what the book is. That is it. I'm going to spend the rest of my evening, I think, cooking something nice, watching the rest of season one of Breaking Bad. I'm not allowed to watch season two until my birthday. It's Dad's rules. I can't argue. But other than that, it is good to be back in full form. And so thank you very much for listening. Please keep coming by. Please tell your friends. Follow me on Twitter at LabLib. Come to the Facebook page. I think we're up to 124 people now. Woohoo! And now that they've liked it instead of becoming a fan, it's much, much easier. And, I think that is about it. I'm going to let you go. I'm sure you have important things to do. Special message to my sister, who's probably cooking by now. Check the pasta. All right. Y'all have a nice one, and I will see you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.